Welcome to Cultivating Hearts. We're back in the studio with Adriana, Janelle, Tanya, Miss Tara, and myself, Sandy. And we are discussing Philippians 2. And Paul is encouraging the Philippians to continue in unity to spread the gospel and do it with love.
It's so good. And when you said discuss, and it sounded like you were a Texan. It took me back for a moment there. Okay, so what we're doing is we're breaking down verses, chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. And essentially, verse 1 is the appeal to unity. Verse 2 is going to be the essence of unity. And 3 and 4 will be the actual expression of unity. And so it's kind of fun looking at it that way as we're going through. And last time we were kind of examining verse 1 and just the fact that the exhortation, we ended that Paul is exhorting, and that whenever there's an exhortation can have a rebuke with it, because you can't ask somebody to do something without implying that they haven't been doing it or
they might not. Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so having that in there. Now, what I'd like for us to do is one of you ladies who wants to volunteer first, because you know I'm going to make you.
Okay.
All right, you go. You're going to read verses 1 through 4, chapter 2.
All right.
That's Adriana.
Yep. So, if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord, and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interest, but also to the interest of others.
Good. Great. I was so into it. I'm like, pause there for a second. I'm like, wait, she's done. I'm still thinking on the verse. So we've been examining attitude and what our attitude looks like. And we were getting it out and understanding that Paul's speaking here about certainties. He's not talking about things that could happen or may happen. These are certainties. These are things that will happen. If we walk in these, we are certain we will know what it is to have complete joy, the unity of complete joy. And so that's beautiful in what he's putting out. And so we ended last time talking about the, so we were at any encouragement. And what the any encouragement in Christ is for us to understand, he's referring to our dwelling place, where we dwell. We are dwelling in him. And so our dwelling in him then makes us have that body connection. Janelle, why don't you look up John 14, verses 16 through 17. And this verse here actually uses the same word of encouragement that is used here, and it's the word for counselor. And so we're seeing here how it ties into other writings. Okay, go ahead.
John 14, 16 and 17. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you.
Okay, so here we have the promise of the Holy Spirit. He's the incentive that we have of indwelling us. He's our dwelling and dwells within us. And he's the one that gives us that binding. And one commentator, I think it was Mattoon, he was saying that because of that mutual dwelling that we have in Christ and that incentive towards peace because of the counselor, he said we should not allow rooms for the cliques and the politics and the isolations and the groups and the divisions and the factions and stuff that we allow that occur within our mess. Okay, now what happened is this morning I was going through this and they refer to these as the four, but when I was looking at it, I actually saw that almost like the dwelling is the big one and then the next three really would fall under the big one. Because we have the Holy Spirit Comforter inside us, he's dwelling in us, richly bonding us, that mutual dwelling of the body of Christ, the other three will flow. And what blew my mind is that it's almost like a reflection of like a Trinity figure, and that the first one is about Christ's love, the second one is about the Spirit, and the third one is about our overflow of acting out because of his love and Spirit in us. And so it's the bonding of the three of Jesus, Holy Spirit, and us, and the dwelling that he gives us in that encouragement of being one in him. So we'll break those down now. So any comfort from his love. This is that moment when you can feel and you know you have been comforted by God. It's the mutual love of the body of Christ. And so I thought, let's have a moment. Let's all share something that a moment where we just felt the comfort of God's love, where you knew his comfort and it was his love. You knew it was his love you were receiving. And to be able to identify what that looks like, because he's saying, we have this comfort of his love. And so we should know what it is to have the comfort of his love. And so it can come in the forms of, you know, we read a passage of scripture, we, you know, things of that nature. And so this past week I had a situation where my daughter and I were on a mother-daughter date, and we were out and she's asking me questions and we're just talking and I'm getting her stories and catching up and everything. And I shared something with her that I was really struggling with. It's really hard for me right now. And then we went back to the house, and I've taught, and my kids know that I've prayed my Bible, Genesis to Revelation, through many different things. And on this particular, Michaela was like, Mom, about a month ago, she's like, I really feel like I'm next year as a RA, I'm going to pray the entire Bible for my hall. Awesome. And so she's praying through. And so we looked up a special Bible. We got her the Life Application one. And it arrived after we had had our mother-daughter date. It arrived and we got it after when we got home. And the first thing Michaela did was grab it and go to the room, open it up, and begin praying for her hall. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know this, and I'm doing stuff, and it's time for us to go somewhere, and I go in and I open up the door, and to see my daughter sitting on the bed, Indian style, with a pen and a highlighter, and her Bible already got prayers all over it. Wow. And I just had this incredible, like, washing of the Spirit of God, just in the image of what I saw. Mm-hmm. But then she looked up at me, and this is, I might cry. The very thing I shared with her that was my heartache and my pain right now that I'm struggling with, she goes, Mom, listen. And she read the passage she was reading, and she just kind of looked at me, and it's like, wow, that's the answer. Mm-hmm. And it was just this incredible, simple faith of truth, where I knew the bond of the unity of Christ, where I was encouraged by my Lord through my daughter of her giving me the word. So be willing to share those moments of the comfort of his love. So just that was like one that's an example right now that just happened to me that was like, wow. Mm-hmm. And so I'm holding on to that comfort of his love. So some moments of comfort of love that you have known. That's no, I'm on the spot. Why is she doing that to us?
Yeah, why is she doing that? I always go back to Steve, you know, and the comfort that God gave me when he was sick. Mm. You know, and you just had this peace that he gives you. And my daughter, when she was diagnosed with cancer, it was just like, it's going to be okay. Wow. Mm. You know, and you just knew, you knew it was going to be okay.
Mm. That's faith. That's faith.
Is.
That's your faith. That's amazing. Recently, God gave me a picture that I needed in my mind when I was struggling. And doubting some things, doubting my future. Mm. Not in heaven, but here on earth.
Right.
And he gave me a picture of Jesus, almost like my shadow. And I was like, I'm asking, why would you give me like this black shadow? What is, why? So I asked him, and he shared with me, that's Christ. That's how close I am to you. I never leave you. I'm wherever you move this way, I'm right there. You move this way, I'm right there. You look this way, I'm right there. And it was just like, oh, what my heart needed in that moment.
That's beautiful.
Right. Just a picture.
Yeah.
That's good.
Songs do it also. Yeah. You know, just gives you that. It's going to be okay.
Right.
Focus where you belong. Up.
I know there's just been, like, a few times where, like, at one point, I lost a little brother, and as I've mentioned before, but when we kind of announced that to our church, because it was a situation with foster care where he ended up leaving and going to a different home after we thought we were going to adopt him, but when we shared that with our church, it was just amazing the sense of unity that there was in the church as the entire church mourned with us the loss of this child, you know? Mm-hmm. And yeah, I mean, that was one of the clearest times for me where it's just like, okay, this is God comforting through his church, mm-hmm. and through his believer and through showing the unity that it should have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. When we went on choir tour, I think it was 2 years ago, it was the year that Grace had gone through a lot of loss, and we had lost our former dean of women, a former student, a wife of one of our professors, a mother of another professor. It was just, the students had lost parents. It was just everyone all around had gone through some form of loss or another. The former student that had died was one of my friends, and I was close with the dean of women, and it was just a year that was very, very trying and difficult. And on that choir tour that year, we sang Chris Tomlin's I Will Rise. Mm-hmm. And we were doing a unique kind of stories version where our director gave students an opportunity to introduce the songs. And I volunteered to introduce that song. And so every time we sang it, I would tell the story of us losing all of these people that were near and dear to us. But every time we sang that song, it was just, I mean, people started sobbing, not just in our choir, but also in the audience. But the victory over death that we have in Christ, just knowing that no matter how pointless death seems, mm-hmm. we have the hope that they have risen, that Christ has risen, and that we will rise as well. And there's something so peaceful about that. And every time we would sing that song, it was just a comfort and a peace to know that God has something bigger for us than mm-hmm. what we have for ourselves.
That's yeah. so good.
And it's hard to get that peace when you don't know the person, where if they know right. Christ. That's so hard to get it then.
Yeah.
Because you're like, oh my goodness.
Okay, yeah. So it produces in us a spirit of peace. Mm-hmm. It produces in the body a spirit of unity. And we can see how that, we see that based on these stories. We have to be, and that's what Paul's trying to get them, you've got to have your God sighting on. You have to have your eyes looking mm-hmm. for the God moments. He says, any comfort from his love. We have the comfort of his love. We have comfort from his love. We've got to be aware of what's going on within the body of Christ. And the challenge also to be the comfort of his love. And so, Tanya, would you look up John 13 verses and then read for us 34 through 35? Because this is the new command that was given to us. And so allowing God's love in our hearts to produce the unity and the peace that becomes the persuasive incentive to cause people to be drawn to the Lord. Go ahead, Tanya.
Okay, 13, 34, and 35. Mm-hmm. It says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another.
I don't know. It is such a good command, but it is so convicting because, all right, I'm going to show my feeble-mindedness, my sinfulness. And that, you know, there are times that when something happens and I just don't want to love. I want them to, I don't know, experience something and it's not love.
<That's funny.
laughs> Something, because that something could be anything depending on the moment of where my sinful thought goes. And
there goes the joy.
It does. And it leaves instantly. It leaves instantly.
Saying.
And so I have to then go back and I'm like, okay, it's a command. Love one another. It's not an option. It is a command.
Right.
So I cannot be where I have the expectation for God's love sightings to be on me from right. other people if I am not willing to give it to them. And this means that I have to do it when it is the clique, the politics, the groups, the people that are isolating, the divisions, the fractions, the fragmented, whatever. I have to choose to be the lover of God.
Right. A lot of times I have to just say, please let me see what you see in them, because I'm not seeing it.
Right.
You know, the love that he has for them, because he loves everybody.
But if we do it, the awesome thing is we'll be like C.S. Lewis and we will be surprised by joy.
Yes.
Because if I am praying that I love when it's not lovable,
yeah,
he will give you the capacity, because that is a God-honoring prayer. And I have been blown away over and over and over when my flesh says, I'm gonna take that person out kind of thing. You know, I could like verbally slay you. Yes. Like my mouth is bad. And so it's like, he says, no, that's not what I expect of my daughter. You have a responsibility to love. And so being where I am praying because of my mutual dwelling, because I have been encouraged in Christ, because I have the Holy Spirit in me, I am individually a member of the body. I have a responsibility to love and to be that love. And that comes through Jesus. And so that's the one. And so that's kind of like the layering. The second one is, he says, if you have any fellowship with the Spirit. And in my journal, when I was first going through this section, I'm like, God, why does Jesus get the love and the Spirit get the fellowship? I haven't found any commentator answer those questions yet. I'd love if anybody has a thought. But it's out of the love of Christ and the fellowship of the Spirit. And so what I ended up coming to is because we're in the mutual dwelling of Christ, the fellowship of the Spirit, he's the one that bonds us. Mm-hmm. That uniqueness mm-hmm. of him, as you think of like when Mary walked in pregnant and the baby leapt in Elizabeth, the mutual dwelling of the Spirit of God cannot even be contained in the womb. And that's what God gave me. And he goes, I sent you the Holy Comforter.
Right.
He's the fellowship that pulls us together to where you're like, oh my goodness, like from the depths of my bowels, I can't help but respond to the Spirit of God in you. And that's why it's the fellowship of him. And it comes from our love of Christ.
Right.
And I was like, oh my goodness, God, that's really beautiful.
It is.
And the fellowship can't go outward until the fellowship has been experienced intimately within yourself and the Spirit. Right?
That's it.
Correct.
Totally. It has to come from the love of Christ completely. I was just like blown away. And so we need to be thinking about the work of the fellowship. David Guzik says, think of the Holy Spirit as the doctor and Jesus as the medicine. Okay. So you need to come back next time. And when you come back, we'll hit the third one of the four that all the commentators talk about that Paul writes about. We're glad you're listening to Cultivating Hearts. We'd love to hear from you. You can contact us at tararye.com or cultivatinghearts.org or at opendoormission.org. We appreciate you. God bless.